There's good news and there's bad news this morning. The good news is that you're having a very short message and you're going to have it very soon. The bad news is, well, it's good news really. You're going to have another message. You're going to have a sermon this morning from the children. They're just in the process of planning it as we speak. So later on during the service, the children are going to come in and they're going to preach a sermon to you as well. But I think you'll find that they'll do it without as many words as I use. But I'll let you see what you think. But you're going to have two sermons. They're both going to be short, one from me and then one from the children that's being made ready now. We're going to pray, so let us pray. Lord Jesus, we pray for those who long for the stone of their distress to be rolled away, those who are ill, those who have to watch others suffer, those whose relationships are breaking down. May they know your risen presence in their lives. We pray for those who are too afraid to tell others what they feel and know and believe. Those who are being bullied, those who harbour guilt, those who think they won't be believed. May they know your risen presence in their lives. We pray for those called to be witnesses in your world today, for all those in positions of opportunity and authority, for ourselves and for one another, that we would be bold and not timid. Lord Jesus, may we all know and all share your risen presence in our lives. In the name of Jesus, amen. The reading is from John 20, no surprises. John 20, verses 1 to 18. Early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been taken away from the entrance. She went running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, whom Jesus loved, and told them, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." Then Peter and the other disciple went to the tomb. The two of them were running, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and saw the linen wrappings, but did not go in. Behind him came Simon Peter, and he went straight into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth which had been round Jesus' head. It was not lying with the linen wrappings, but was rolled up by itself. Then the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in. He saw and believed. They still did not understand the scripture which said he must rise from death. Then the disciples went back home. Mary stood crying outside the tomb, and while she was still crying, she bent over and looked in the tomb and saw two angels there dressed in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had been, one at the head and the other at the feet. "Woman, why are you crying?" they asked her. She answered, "They have taken my Lord away, and I do not know where they have put him." Then she turned round and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. "Woman, why are you crying?" Jesus asked her. "Who is it that you are looking for?" She thought he was the gardener. So she said to him, "If you took him away, sir, tell me where you have put him, and I will go and get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and said in Hebrew, "Rabboni," this means teacher. "Do not hold on to me," Jesus told her, "because I have yet not gone back up to my Father. But go to my brothers and tell them that I am returning to him who is my Father and their Father, my God and their God." So Mary Magdalene went and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and related to them what he had told her. Can you imagine John finishing at John 19? If the Bible and all the references to Jesus' resurrection weren't there, it wouldn't be worth having. It wouldn't have the point that it's got. All the stuff from the Old Testament, the bits in Isaiah, wouldn't be relevant and it wouldn't tie itself together. And one of the things I like about the Word of God is the beautiful way it all ties itself together. And the more you get to know the Word of God, the more you see the relevance of different parts of it. Have you heard the song, What a Difference a Day Makes? Yeah, I was thinking of another song called What a Difference 3 Days Makes. Because we used to do something at the school that I went to, and it used to really annoy me because I was awful at doing it. And we'd have to write essays. And the essays always asked us to compare and contrast. Have you ever done that at school? Compare and contrast this person and this person. And I was really bad at doing it. But what I want to look at briefly this morning, I want to compare and contrast Good Friday and where people were and Easter Sunday and what they'd become. On January the 19th, 2008, President Bush was the leader of the free world. And a day later, President Obama took over. And we haven't heard very much of President Bush since. And that one day made all the difference. Everything changed. And down history, there's been days like that. Have you heard of someone called Tony Campolo? He writes a lot of books. And one of the books that he's written was entitled, It's Friday, But Sunday's Coming. And the difference that that was going to make. It seems that the title of the book came from a time that Campolo was preaching in somewhere in Pennsylvania. And he was preaching and preaching and preaching. And he sat down and he said to this person next to him, who was the pastor of the church, I bet you can't beat that sermon I've just preached. Which is a strange thing to say to another preacher. And this other preacher said, I'll try. And he stood up and he preached a sermon entitled, It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. And Tony Campolo was so impressed with that sermon that he based a book around it, which is well worth reading. So how did things on Friday look? Only 3 days ago. On Friday, the disciples' faith was so weak that most of them were afraid to show their faces in public. Where are you on that one? Are you ashamed to show your Christian face in public? Or are you proud that you're a follower of Christ and tell everybody you can about it? On Friday, Pilate delivered Jesus over to the Roman soldiers who took turns beating and whipping and scourging him unmercifully. On Friday, they made him carry his own cross through the streets of Jerusalem. The people who lined the sides of the road cursed and spat on him. They stripped him of his clothing and dignity, nailed him to the cross like a common criminal. And on Friday, the Roman soldiers made fun of him. They put a sign over his head that said, This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. And they did it mocking him. They mocked the words that he'd used about himself. They mocked the words that other people had used about them. And then on Sunday, that was reversed. On Friday, the sins of the world weighed heavy on Jesus. And on Friday, it appeared as if God had abandoned his only begotten Son. Jesus himself said, my God, why have you forsaken me? I don't know if you've ever reflected on those words. They're the hardest words for me to understand as a Christian. And they have been down the years. I understand them now, but for many years, I couldn't get my head round Jesus saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I couldn't get my head round the fact that there'd been this split between God and his Son. The one in three somehow wasn't together. And it took me a long time to come to terms with that. And it's a good thing to reflect on. On Friday, Jesus was not only crucified, but humiliated in every way possible. And on Friday, darkness covered the land. That came across to me in the video clip. Darkness covered the land. And the prince of darkness, Satan, the evil one, had won, or thought he had won. He thought he'd got this great victory because he'd killed the Son of God. And the partying in hell at that point must have been amazing. On Friday, they took Jesus off the cross and they put him in a borrowed tomb, and everything that Jesus was buried and taken away. And everything that people believed in Jesus was gone and buried away as well. And people started to return to their lives before, a little bit more disillusioned, because somebody had come and gone and they'd believed this person and there's nothing come from it. But that was Friday. It was Friday, but Sunday was coming. On Sunday, God demonstrated the fact he had not abandoned Jesus on the cross by raising him from the dead. And that's the most important part of what we believe. On Sunday, Jesus walked out of the tomb with his head held high, knowing he had finished the job that his heavenly Father had sent him to do. Jesus, all his life, knew what the end was going to be, and he was focused on the job that God gave him. Do we know the job that God has given us? We've talked a lot, I was reflecting on this as well, we've talked a lot in our ministers' meetings, it seems endless discussions about job descriptions. And we've talked about job descriptions for various people. Do we know what our personal job description is from God in the place that we live? Are we clear what God wants us to be doing? Or are we jumping from one thing to another? Have we a plan? Are we focused? We're talking in our church at the moment about possibly taking on a children and families worker. Do we know that that's God's plan? I know that's God's plan. But as a church, do we know that that's God's plan? Because if we don't, then it's going to be hard for God to move through that. Paul wrote about this in the second chapter of Philippians. He said, "And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place, gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth." On Sunday, Jesus' resurrection demonstrated that Satan had not defeated him, but that Jesus had won the victory over Satan as well as sin and death and the grave. Do we tell people that? Do we verbalise that to people? Do we tell people that they need to become Christians and what being a Christian is all about? Paul in 1 Thessalonians 15, 51 to 57 said, when the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. On Sunday, Jesus appeared to his disciples, and their faith was strengthened. They would never be the same again. On Friday, they were frightened, they were scared, they were running away, and on Sunday, their faith was made strong and courageous. Where are you on that spectrum? Are you running away, or is your faith strong and courageous? Are you a Friday Christian or a Sunday Christian? On Sunday, the light of the world dispelled the darkness that had covered the land and gave his disciples a renewed sense of hope and purpose. And if you read through Acts, you see the miraculous things that then happened because of those disciples, people willing to die themselves because of what they believed. It might be Friday for some of you here, because like the disciples, you might have recently lost someone that you love and be overcome with grief. The Bible teaches us that pain and separation we're going through is not permanent. The Bible tells us that we'll be reunited with loved ones who have gone before us. And if we put our faith and trust in him, we will spend eternity in heaven. Revelation 21 verse 3. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, "Look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them and they will be his people. God himself will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death, or sorrow, or crying, or pain. All these things are gone forever. Do we look forward to that time when Jesus is going to return? It's Friday this morning for some of you because you might feel abandoned by God. You feel like he's forgotten your name and forgotten your needs. If you feel like that this morning, then it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. God has not abandoned you any more than he abandoned Jesus Christ. Deuteronomy 31 verse 6. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. There's times in all our lives when we feel that God has moved away. And yet Scripture clearly tells us that that's not the case. God is always there and dependable. It's Friday for some people because, like the disciples, we can be discouraged and plagued with a sense of hopelessness. Everywhere we look, we see Satan, the forces of evil, wreaking havoc on the earth and even on the church. It's darker than it's ever been. It seems to get darker every day. It's easy to get discouraged. But God has already beaten Satan. God has already done that piece of work. So whatever is happening in the world, God can overcome it through us. Pressures from work or home might be weighing people down. Maybe it's a financial problem or health or the health of someone you love. Maybe you feel helpless or powerless to do anything about your situation. Jesus said in Matthew 11, 28 to 30, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." In Philemon 4, verses 6 to 7, Paul says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall guard your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ." When do you pray the most? I know when I pray the most. It's the wrong time normally. I pray the most when I need something, when things are starting to go wrong, when I've got problems, when things aren't quite how I want them to be. That's when you'll find me praying to God and saying, "God, can you sort this out for me?" I see God sometimes as a rescuer, someone that's going to come in and put everything right for me one day. The Word of God says that we should pray continually, that we should pray through the good times with God and be thankful for everything that God has given us. We serve a God who is all-powerful. Doesn't matter what problem or situation you're facing today, even though you might not be able to handle it, God can, and he'll give you the strength. A Christian singer and songwriter came out with a song entitled "There Will Be a Day," and we're going to listen to it in a moment. But the first verse says, "I try to hold on to this world with everything I have, but I feel the weight of what it brings and the hurt that tries to grab. That many trials that seem to never end, his word declares this truth, that he will enter in this rest with wonders anew. But I hold on to this hope and the promise that he brings, that there will be a place with no more suffering. There will be a day with no more tears, no more pain and no more fears. There will be a day when the burdens of this place will be no more, and we'll see Jesus face to face." As Christians, are we looking forward to a time when Jesus will return in glory? Are we acting like Christians who are expecting Jesus to return in glory? Are we acting as people that want other people to know about it, to share the gospel with them? Let's listen to this song together. Thank you.
I try to hold on to this world with everything I have, but I feel the weight of what it brings and the hurt that tries to grab. The many trials that seem to never end, His word declares this truth, that we will enter in this rest with wonders anew. But I hold on to this hope and the promise that He brings, that there will be a place where no more suffering. There will be a day with no more tears, no more pain, and no more fears. There will be a day when the burdens of this place will be no more. We'll see Jesus face to face. But until that day, we'll hold on to You always. Journey seems so long. You feel you're walking on your own. There has never been a step, but you've walked down all alone. Troubled soul, don't lose your heart, 'cause joy and peace He brings, and the beauty that's in store. How is the hurt of life sting? But I hold on to this hope and the promise that He brings, that there will be a place with no more suffering. There will be a day with no more tears, no more pain, and no more fears. There will be a day when the burdens of this place will be no more. We'll see Jesus face to face.
Friday Christians, Easter Sunday Christians, we have to be a balance between both. The reason that God is able to use people is when they live a life of sacrifice, when they sacrifice of themselves for God. And even looking at the simple things in this church, the children's work that is just doing such an amazing job for God, it's down to the sacrifice of people giving of their time and their energy in order to tell the children about Jesus, in order to run those groups, because they know that that's what God wants them to be doing. And that goes right along around lots of areas in this church. There's cleaning, there's music, there's PowerPoint, there's all sorts of things that people give of their time for God. So we have to give and we have to be joyful. And we have to be Christians and resurrection Christians for God. He is risen. He is risen indeed. We're going to sing together. I will sing the wondrous